Thanks very much, Sam. Thank you very much, brother and sister, to be here, and thank you for your prayers. Pray the Lord to undertake for us this morning. These last times we've spoke on Exodus chapter 32, and we're not going to disappoint anybody else. We're going to be there this morning, and we pray that the Lord will continue to bless us as we read His precious word again. So we're again at Exodus chapter 32. And could I say this morning, before we read God's word, anything I say, you can't consider. But anything God says, you must believe it. John 17 and 21 tells us this. That Jesus said, neither pray I for thee alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. That is you, that's me, and that's you, friend, that's listening this morning. We invite you to God's word. It's God's word you hear. It's God's word you must obey. You consider all the things that I may say, but you must obey Him. Where there's faith, there's love. And where there's love, there's peace. And where there's peace, there is God. And where there's God, there is no need, because He will meet all your need. There's a hymn that was this morning. I was thinking about, and the words in that friend, if you are listening, it says this: her firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said? You who is the Saviour, for refuge He fled. Fear not, He that is with thee, oh, be not dismayed. He is thy God, and will still give thee aid. He'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by His righteous and omnipotent hand. The soul that is on Jesus has lain for repose. He will not, He cannot desert to its foes. That soul through all hell shall endeavor to shake. He'll never, no never, no never forsake. There's an invitation this morning, friend, if you're not saved, to listen to God's word. There's a challenge for the saints this morning from God's word. It's all God's word. We've read these, some of these passages before, and I'll be touching over some of them, and then I'll be going back to where we left off. And we find that despite all God had done for Israel, and all that Israel had promised, they failed. We are not any different. We had failed as well. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And the only difference between us and the sinners is that we are sinners saved by grace. And it's a marvellous grace. So we find in Exodus chapter 32, reading from verses 2 to 6, we find that the people saw that Moses had delayed to come down from the mountain. And they wouldn't wait on him. And same as it happens even today, nobody will wait on the Lord and do their own thing. And verse 1 says that when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together and unto Aaron. And he said unto him. And I like the capital letter there. It's stopping us to see that there's a different phrase here. What he's saying is, up! The same term, up! Up! And make gods which we shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, was not what has become of him. They didn't know what happened to him. They weren't going to wait to see. See, there was a compromise here. There was a compromise by Aaron. He gave in too easy. He was supposed to be in second command there when Moses was up the mountain. He compromised by the people. Some of us would say he had no backbone. Some of us would say what the scripture tells us, the fear of man bringeth a snare. So it does. And he done the same. Maybe we would do the same as well. Because there was a vast number here. So none of us can be really cool. But he didn't stand his ground. That's what God has meant by being faithful. Stand your ground. But he didn't do it. In verses 7 and 8 and 9, the Lord said unto Moses, go, get down, for thy people, which thou brought us out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. And they turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, that they made them a molten calf, and they worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto it, and said, these be the gods of Israel which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. And there's a lot of stiff-necked people about today. Not only in the unsaved, but also the saved. And let's be truthful about it. The people have corrupted themselves and turned aside very quickly. When Moses was up the mountain, didn't wait to see. And they made a molten image, and they worshipped it, and they sacrificed to it. And they claimed it to be God that led them out. They forgot about Jehovah, Elohim. The thought of it, the Most High. And they took upon themselves idols and proclaimed them gods. And then we went to verse 11 and 12 and 13. The advocate, the Moses, the advocate. And we found that Moses brought forth and is intervening for the people of God. He called on God's grace in verse 11. Moses brought forth, but sought the Lord God and said, Lord, why dost thou wax hot against thy people, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with a great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. And then we find he calls on God's glory in verse 13. He intervenes there as well. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Remember thy servants to whom thou swearest on thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit forever. The Lord said, the Lord repent of the evil which he had brought to do unto this people. When we left that the last time, we didn't talk about the Lord's glory. So Moses called and mentioned at the throne of grace, God's grace, God's glory, and God's faithfulness. And so he is. He's faithful. And he's just. See, in God's glory, what is God's glory? What is God's glory? It's the manifesting manifestation of all his attributes and his character. All that he is and says and does. Everything about God is glorious. We were praising this morning round the table. Give him all the praise and the glory which he richly deserves. His God, his graces, his faithfulness, his compassion, his love, his mercy. They're all there. And what's man's activity? What should the man be doing? Doing what we're doing this morning. Man's activity, the activity of man, is to glorify God. Is our God getting glorified by the saints? Is he getting glorified in the world? In the wonderful prayer of John 17, where the Lord prayed to his heavenly Father, our great high priest. And John 17, and 22 to 24, it says this, And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his heavenly Father. And he's talking about his disciples. And the glory which thou gavest me, I give them. I have given them. that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And then he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me before how long? The foundation of the world. Way back then, it happened. We're saved this morning, brothers and sisters, by God's marvelous grace. And that's went way back then. But before the world began. Our names were known. What a God we have this morning, brothers and sisters. What a God. That's the glory of God. To be trusted. He's a faithful God. He's a loving God, a caring God. He's the only God. The true living God. All other are false. He is a true living God. This morning. In 22 and 20, from 22 to 28, Aaron was confronted with sin. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot, that thou knowest the people, and that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as far as this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And he said unto them, whosoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire. And what happened? What happened? And there came out this calf. Brothers and sisters, there came out this calf. Aaron blamed the people. He blamed Moses. And he even blamed the foreigners for bringing out the calf. He blamed everybody but himself. Didn't Adam do the same? He blamed Eve. And Eve looked round. And she blamed the serpent. The devil. Nobody wants to take the blame. They want to heave it off somewhere else. Someone said, sin is a brat. Nobody wants to own. You ever see a spoiled brat in the shops? and the supermarkets. You can spot them a mile away and know if they like something. Only their own. And it's their own, it's made them like that. Nobody wants to own it. But sin is there. It's in the world. It's in the world. And the only way we can get rid of it is by the precious blood of our saving Lord. Oh yes, there's a lot in this, brothers and sisters. We can keep going back and back and back and back, and we can keep bringing buckets full up. Yes, nobody wants to know. It wasn't me. It was him. It was her. I'm not to blame. And then there was a terrible slaying of the people for the sin that was committed. You know, in 28 and 29 it says, and the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and they fell on the people that day about 3,000 men. 3,000 men. Moses told them to put their swords close to their thigh. And often wondered why he was told them to do that. And the reason why he told them to do that, because they had to mingle and they were picking out the ones that were doing all the organizing. I thought that was a good point. Even upon brother upon brother, son, we're getting picked out. And then they lost a mixed blessing. They missed a blessing. For Moses said in 29, consecrate yourself today to the Lord, even to every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Consecration means to fill. The reference being to sweet savour or offering and fragrance and incense with which were to appear before Jehovah. I wonder if Jehovah found sweet fragrance from that 3,000 slain. In Acts 2 and 41, at Pentecost, 3,000 were saved. Were saved. But it's by the sword, the word of God. Weapons, it tells us in Scripture, are warfare, are carnal. Our warfare is spiritual. Ephesians 6:17. Our Christian equipment is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And 29, 30 and 31 we find Moses' confession and intercession. And it came to pass in the morrow that Moses said unto the people, "You have sinned again, a sin, a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord, peradventure, and I shall make an atonement for your sin." And Moses turned to the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and I have made them gods in gold." You know, Moses loved the people. He loved them, and he stood a lot from them. You know, we have a great shepherd who cares for the sheep. He gave his life for the sheep. Moses here was like a shepherd. And we are the same. My sheep hear my voice, and they know him, and they know me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither should any man pluck up out of my hand. In 32 and 35, we're getting near where we left off last week. See, God's grace forgives sinners, but his government, he must punish sin, because he's a holy God and he hates sin. He doesn't hate the person, he hates the sin. And so comes judgment. It may seem cruel to people, but the people have been warned of their sin. "Be not deceived, that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. He that soweth to the Spirit, of the Spirit eternal life." Whatever you sow, whatever we sow, will be answerable for it. "32, yet not if thou wilt forgive their sin. If not, blot me out. Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. And behold," just remember, "behold, mine angel." He was sending him, his angel with him. "And shall go before thee, nevertheless in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made." The Lord Jesus Christ can save sinners. That's why he died upon the cross. Man can do nothing for himself. "For whosoever has sinned against me, him I will blot out of the book." See, you can picture, you can take the wrong version out of this. You could think, like, especially the saints, you could think that Is that the Lamb's Book of Life? No, it's not. Because you can never, once you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're there for eternally. No saved ones of any ages will be judged at the great white throne. For those who believe shall not come into judgment. John 5 and 24 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken their judgment on the cross, and this judgment at the white throne has to do only with those who have refused him as their Savior, and they will be judged according to their works and will be condemned because their names are not written in the book of life. Judgment of the doomed and the unbelievers. In Revelation chapter 20, I'd like you to come with me. We'll try and move on a wee bit now. Revelations chapter 12, Revelations 20 verses 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. For those whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, friend, forgiveness is dependent upon repentance. You must repent of your sin. That's the only way you'll be free. But out of thy book, and scripture, as I gleaned, the book of God is mentioned 12 times. The book Moses mentioned was not the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation chapter 17 and 18, and chapter 17 and 8 will tell you that. The beast that thou sawest is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on earth shall wonder whose name was not written in the book of life. Wherefore, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. Brothers and sisters, where your name goes in the book of life, you're there for eternity. It tells in scripture, according to others have said, There's many books. God has got many books. In John 17, verse 24, again, I must quote, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." In Luke chapter 10, the Lord is speaking and talking to his disciples, and he turned around and said to them, "Rejoice, thy names, because thy names are written in heaven." And Revelation 3 and 5, it says this, that he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. See, brothers and sisters, I believe it. Some are taken home before their time for different reasons or other. Some maybe their work is finished. Some maybe they're burnt out for the Lord. Am I burnt out? Are you burnt out? I don't know. We're still here. John Newton, on his death, said, I'm packed and sealed and waiting for the post. We're all ready and waiting. We're not waiting for the undertaker. We're waiting for the uptaker. There's a place has been prepared for us. And the Lord said, "Where I am, there shall ye also be." Our brother mentioned a verse in Ecclesiastes the other week. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Isn't that right, son? For this is the end of all men. You better go to a funeral, because it's the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his heart. He will remember it. Because, as Sam said that week, he says, you could be in, I could be in that box. But friend, it's only clay that's in that box. We're not there. We're not there. Absent from my body and present with the Lord. Man is looking for a man. And man's going to get the man. But they'll not be looking for what he's going to get. There is only one man. It's a man, Christ Jesus, that can do anything for you. He'll never forget you if you accept him at his word. He'll save you and change you. That whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and him it come to me, I will no wise cast out. They're very well known verses in the Bible, and they're true. Doesn't matter who you are. You can be the biggest fool or the biggest murderer in the place. If you confess your sin before him, you'll be saved. And if you come, he'll not cast you out. He knows, ask you what you've done and what you haven't done. He knows what you've done. But you must come confess it. Friend, this morning, we've seen Moses and the people. We've seen the faults of men. And we've all got them. We've all got them. Starting from the guy here on the platform. Everyone has got their faults. But we can go to the throne of grace. We can go to him as at the right hand of the Father and intercede on our behalf. What a Savior we have this morning, brothers and sisters. You know, in Revelation 6, we were talking a couple of weeks back about the riders and the horses. The man on the white horse was the Antichrist. Mankind, or the world, whatever way you want to put it, will get and have to take what he offers. And that rider of that red horse, there'll be no peace. The scourges of wars. Wars. Not be rumours of war, there'll be wars. And that rider that's on the black horse, there'll be nothing but famine and scarcity of food, and everything will be weighed, even water measured. Someone say that one of the greatest criticisms of the present time is the scarcity in the midst of plenty. And that's a fact. What you find in Revelation, it says about the wine and the oil. Don't harm the wine or the oil. Why was that? Well, wine and oil is no luxury, because wine in Israel and all the other places, is the water's bad. And that's one of the ways that they take the drink wine. Oil is for cooking. And bathing it. But only the rich can afford it. And the fourth horse of the rider is a pale horse. It's hell and death. Militarism, war, famine, pestilence, and death. Four horses. Judgment is coming. It's coming, friend. Do you still want a man? Or do you still want idols? What do you want? an opportunity this morning to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All you have to do is reach out and take it. After what you've heard, you can consider what I said, but believe what God has said. May the Lord bless the reading of His precious word. Father, we give you thanks, and we thank you again for our time this morning. May they get all the glory and all the praise for thou art the God of our salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your compassion and your long suffering towards us. It's the Lord's message that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We give you thanks. In the name, the only name, the name that's above all names, the name that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess is Lord, our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.